So we're continuing chapter 24, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
They just had their new Care of Magical Creatures teacher lesson.
Look at that fluffy unicorn.
That was a really good lesson, said Hermione as they entered the Great Hall. I didn't know half the things Professor Grubby Plank told us about unicorns. Look at this, Harry snarled, and he shoved the Daily Prophet under Hermione's nose. Hermione's mouth fell open as she read. Her reaction was exactly the same as Ron's. How did that horrible Skeeter woman find out? You don't think Hagrid told her? No, said Harry, leading the way over to the Gryffindor table and throwing himself into a chair, furious. He never even told us, did he? I reckon she was so mad he wouldn't give her loads of horrible stuff on him. On me, she went ferreting around to get him back. Maybe she heard him telling Madame Maxime at the ball, said Hermione quietly. We'd have seen her in the garden, said Ron. Anyway, she's not supposed to come back into the school anymore. Hagrid said Dumbledore banned her. Maybe she's got an invisibility cloak, said Harry, ladling chicken casserole onto his plate and splashing it everywhere in anger. Sort of thing she'd do, isn't it, hiding in the bushes listening to people? Like you and Ron did, you mean, said Hermione. We weren't trying to hear him, said Ron indignantly. We didn't have any choice. The stupid Pratt talking about his giantess mother or anyone could have heard him. We've got to go and see him, said Harry, this evening after divination. Tell him we want him back. You do want him back, he shouted Hermione. Well, I'm not going to pretend it didn't make a nice change, having a proper Care of Magical Creatures lesson for once. But I do want Hagrid back, of course I do. Hermione added hastily, quailing under Harry's furious stare. So that evening after dinner, the three of them left the castle once more and went down to the frozen grounds to Hagrid's cabin. They knocked, and Fang's booming barks answered. Hagrid, it's us, Harry shouted, pounding on the door. Open up. Hagrid didn't answer. They could hear Fang scratching at the door, whining, but it didn't open. They hammered for 10 more minutes. Ron even went and banged on one of the windows, but there was no response. What's he avoiding us for? Hermione said when they had finally given up and were walking back to the school. He surely doesn't think we'd care about him being half giant. But it seemed that Hagrid did care. They didn't see a sign of him all week. He didn't appear at the staff tables at mealtimes. They didn't see him going about his gamekeeping duties at the on the grounds, and Professor Grubby Plank continued to take the Care of Magical Creatures classes. Malfoy was gloating at every possible opportunity. Missing your half-breed pal, he kept whispering to Harry whenever there was a teacher around, so that he was safe from Harry's retaliation. Missing the Elephant Man. There was a Hogsmeade visit halfway through January. Hermione was very surprised that Harry was going to go. I thought you'd be taking advantage of the common room being quiet, she said. Really get to work on that egg. Oh, I reckon I got a pretty good idea what it's about, Harry lied. Have you really? Said Hermione, looking impressed. Well done. She wouldn't have asked what it was. Harry's insides gave a guilty squirm, but he ignored them. He still had 5 weeks to work on that egg clue, after all, and that was ages. Whereas if he went to Hogsmeade, he might run into Hagrid and get a chance to persuade him to come back. So he, Ron, and Hermione left the castle together on Saturday and set off through the cold, wet grounds toward the gates. As they passed the Durmstrang ship, they saw Victor Crumb emerge onto the deck, dressed in nothing but swimming trunks. Is he helping... swimming? Helping, Victor. Oh, it's Victor. It is Victor. I thought it was, Karkaroff. Anyways, yeah, so he knows. He was very skinny indeed, but apparently a lot tougher than he looked, because he climbed up onto the side of the ship, stretched out his arms, and dived right into the lake. He's mad, said Harry, staring at Crumb's dark head as it bobbed out onto the middle of the lake. He must be freezing. It's January. It's a lot colder where he comes from, said Hermione. I suppose it feels quite warm to him. Yeah, but there's still the giant squid, said Ron. He didn't sound anxious. If anything, he sounded hopeful. Hermione noticed the tone of his voice and frowned. He's really nice, you know, she said. He's not at all like you'd think, coming from Durmstrang. He likes it much better here, he told me. Ron said nothing. He hadn't mentioned Victor Crumb since the ball, but Harry found a miniature arm under his bed, on Boxing Day, which looked very much as though it had been snapped off from a small model figure wearing a Bulgarian Quidditch robe. Harry kept his eyes skinned for a sign of Hagrid all the way down the slushy high street.
I think that it's like kept his eyes peeled. Peeled,
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It suggested a visit to the Three Broomsticks once he had ascertained that Hagrid was not in any of the shops. We should probably stop. So we'll stop there when they go into the Three Broomsticks. I love you so much, Kitty. Why don't you have a safe drive? I love you so much, kitten. And when you're listening to this later, just sleep well. Good night, Pooh. I love you.